So what is this gospel that we keep talking about? What is this gospel that saves? And it's not going to take long, so let's just listen and see what God says to each one of us. We need to know what the gospel is, all right? So I've got pictures up here. So let's bring up the first one there. Thanks, Abram. The word gospel means good news. That's all it is. And it's essentially God's rescue plan of redemption, or saving us and freeing us from sin. But it's only for those who will trust in His Son. It's not for everyone. The gospel is available to everyone, but it's only for those who will accept it through the Son. And if you do that, then you will be reconciled or brought into a right relationship with God, because there's a major problem in our lives. And that takes me to the next slide. The Bible tells us the content of the gospel message, and Brian read it for us earlier. I'm just going to repeat it for you again. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 4 says this: "Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you, if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believed something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me." Here it is. Are you listening? "Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said." Not much longer than that, the gospel. Let's look at it. So there are essentially four elements of the gospel message, and three of them are in this verse in Corinthians. And the first phrase we need to take note of is Christ died for our sins. It's very important. It's not a popular gospel today. No one wants to hear about their sins. No one wants to hear that they're sinful people. But Christ died for our sins. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned." For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no one that's an exception. We're all there because of what Adam did. And mankind is under the curse of sin. And so the reality of sin needs to be acknowledged. And if you want to approach the throne of God to be saved, you need to acknowledge your sin. A sinner must acknowledge the hopelessness and your guilt before God if you want forgiveness to take place. People don't know what they're being forgiven for. And many people don't want to put that message out there because people don't want to hear it. But we must. It's half the gospel. They need to understand, Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death. We're all guilty before God, everyone, and there's a result to that. The wages of sin is eternal death. God says so. It's a foundational truth. It can't be left out of the gospel message. Mankind has no way of getting past our sins on our own. And we try many things. We try to be good people. I'm a good Kiwi, right? Good works. I try religion. Doesn't matter what religion it is. If it's not in Jesus Christ, it is trying to make yourself right before God, or the eternal being, or whatever you want to call it. People think I can buy my way into eternity, or morality. As long as I've got good morals, then that's okay. It'll all even out in the end. If you look at that, sin hasn't been addressed. And the only one who can address sin is the eternal God. Until this time, you have tried on your own, and it's not going to work. You're not going to have eternal life and be saved. And so we come to the second slide. You see, the person and the work of Christ are indispensable to the gospel. Jesus is both God and man, and that's why he came to this earth. He became a baby on this earth. He was born a human being, but he was still God in human form. And he lived a sinless life that we could never live. And because of that, he's the only one who could die a substitutionary death. That means he could die in our place. You see, it doesn't help that a sinner tries to die for sinners, because sin is still there. But when the sinless one died for us, then sin could be taken away. That's why Jesus had to be and could be the only one who could die. The reason is because sin against an infinite God requires an infinite sacrifice. And because you and I, as human beings, are finite, we must pay the penalty for sin for an infinite length of time in hell. That's what's been decreed by God. Or the infinite Christ must pay that price once for all. The infinite one had to pay the infinite price. So only Christ could do it. And so Jesus went to the cross to pay the debt we owe to God for our sin. And only those who are covered by his sacrifice will inherit the kingdom of God and become children of the King. Thirdly, the third element of the gospel message is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Christ had gone into the grave and stayed there, there'd be no gospel at all. Then he's just like one of the other religions that we had. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and by that I mean his literal raising from the dead, because there's some that say that it was just a figurative thing that happened to teach us a lesson. No, he literally got up from death to life. And it's an essential element of the gospel. Why? Because it proves the power of God. If God can raise Jesus Christ from the dead, then he can raise us from the dead. But if Christ didn't raise from the dead, what hope do we have? Nothing. And so only the one who created life can resurrect it again after death. Only Jesus Christ can reverse the hideousness that is death. Only Jesus Christ can remove that sting in death. You see, unlike all other religions, Christianity alone possesses a founder who transcends death and who promises his followers will do the same. That's you and I. All other religions were founded by men and prophets who have died. And guess what? They're still somewhere in the ground. Only Christ was risen from the dead. And then fourthly, the last element of the gospel message is this. Christ offers his salvation as a free gift. There's nothing you can do to earn. All you have to do is receive his free gift. He offers his salvation as a free gift. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, this free gift can only be received by faith. And that means you've got to trust Christ with your life. You've got to give him controlling power in your life. You can't do it anymore. He has to be the one who takes over your life. Because apart from any works or merit, You cannot do anything through your works or merit. Christ has to be the one who is completely in control of your life. The Apostle Paul says to us, it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And so this is what you do. Romans 10 verse 9 says this. Listen to me, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what does God promise? You will be saved. It's not a magic formula. But if you say, "Yes, Jesus, I declare today that you are Lord of my life and I give myself to you, I believe that you will do this," the Bible says you will be saved. See, it's not hard. The gospel message is not hard, but it's infinitely difficult to get into the kingdom without the gospel message. You can't. And so these are the essential elements of the gospel. The sin of all people. The death of Christ on the cross to pay for those sins. The resurrection of Jesus Christ to provide this everlasting life for those who follow him. And the offer of the free gift of salvation to all who will believe it. And so there are only two ways to live. You either say no to God's free offer of life, and you keep on pretending to be your king, to your own king, but you're not really your own king. There's someone else in charge of your life, the king of darkness. And you also bear the eternal consequences of your own sins. Or you can accept Jesus as your king, ask for his forgiveness, and then live as a follower of Jesus Christ. John 3:36 says this, and these are my closing verse. Everyone who trusts in the Son has eternal life. But everyone who rejects him will never share in that life. It can't be clearer. And so the ultimate question this morning for every single person here is, who is your king? It's either Christ or it's not. Let's pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, thank you that we can hear the gospel message and know that it's truth, and we can take out the same gospel message into the world around us. And we can tell people our story, yes, and that's great because they can see that you're alive. But when it comes to that moment when someone says, how can I be born again too? We need to bring them the gospel message. And we need to give it to them clearly. And then you will use that message and you will save them. Thank you, Lord, that we know that it's not our responsibility to save people. It is our responsibility to bring them the message. You do the saving. That's not our job. You will save souls. But we need to open our mouths and open our lives and share Jesus Christ and the gospel message. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that we can testify that you are alive in our lives. And we can tell the world that Christ lives.